Wow, there's a bunch of people here this morning. I'm thankful to my brethren here in the valley for the work they've done in putting this meeting together. And I'm thankful I was in Thailand while they did it, so I didn't have to do anything. And I'm thankful to everyone who has spoken in the leadership portion and in the lectureship portion. Thank every one of them. I love preachers. I love evangelists. I love missionaries. I love God's people. And I love Robert, wherever he is, because he gave me a great topic. That's not the right thing. I don't know where it is. Oh, here it is on this side. He gave me a great topic. Victory through the Word. Great topic. I prayed and I wished and I hoped that I would be capable of doing justice to such a great topic. Victory through the Word. Our passage that we centered all around, 1 John 5, tells us that whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is beloved of God. And he loves who begot us, and he loves all those that are begotten of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. Whosoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. But faith comes from hearing the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. God tells us in Romans 10:17. So whenever you talk about faith, you're talking about what the Word did. I'd like for us to start with by looking at some of the Word in the Old Testament. We're not going to have time to do much of it. But how many of us here have sat down in the last month or so and taken time in a quiet place where we're not rushed and not interfered with and just read and thought about the 119th Psalm? That Psalm tells us about the Word of God. I'd like to read a few passages from that. 119, verse 6, verse 9. Where shall a young man cleanse himself? By the Word of God. He says, I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. He says, forever, O Jehovah, forever is thy word settled in heaven. The Word of God. He said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my teachers, for they're always with me. I have more understanding. The first one is enemies. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they're always with me. I have more understanding than my teachers. From thy word, I have more understanding than the aged, because I dwell in your word. It's all in the Word of God. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I have kept thy precepts. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. God's word is everything. He says, the opening of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. David says, I anticipate the dawning of the morning. I cried for thy word. I anticipated the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. Great Psalms. Don't go to it when you're in a hurry. It's a long psalm, 176 verses. But it's rich, talking about the word of God. In Psalms 138, verse 2, he says, I worship towards your holy temple. I will give thanks for your loving kindness and your truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That is a great statement. Mike Sherrill showed us a beautiful picture of the greatness and the exaltation of God above everything we can think of, even dream about. We don't even touch the hem of the garden. Our God is so high. And God himself says, I've exalted my word above all my name. In the time of Jeremiah, false prophets were in the land. And he says in Jeremiah 23, verse 21, God says, I did not send them, but they ran. I didn't speak unto them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have made my people hear my words, and it would turn them from their evil. Stand in God's counsel, in God's word, to turn away from evil. He says on down in verse 28, 29, he says, he that has a dream, let him tell the dream. He that has a word, let him say the word, saith Jehovah. What is the stubble unto the wheat? My word, Jehovah speaking, my word is like a fire, saith Jehovah, and a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. God's word is a fire, and it burns, and it breaks all the rocks in pieces. God's word is their victory. Stand in God's word. Throughout the Old Testament, David yesterday gave us a beautiful picture of the power of the Word of God that brought the faith to Israelites' people and the victories they had when they were just like a little flock of sheep and the enemies where you couldn't even count them. They're the sands of the sea, and in faith that they got from the Word of God, they depended on God and he wipes out all their enemies. Victory by the word of God. God spoke. Our God is not silent. Our God spoke. He spoke directly. He spoke directly to Adam. Walking in the garden, he spoke to Noah, told him in chapter 6 of Genesis to build an ark. He talks to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, tells him to get out of his land to a land that he'd show him. He talks to Moses. In Numbers 12, we have a problem come up with Miriam and Aaron. But in verse 7 and 8, God said, "It is not so with my servant Moses, for he is faithful in all my house, and I'll speak to him mouth to mouth manifestly." That's during the patriarchal period. But the prophets, he said in the verse before that, he said, "If a man hear my words, if a man be a prophet, saith Jehovah, I'll make myself known to him in visions or speak to him in dreams." God spoke to all the prophets from the time of Moses, clear into the time of our Lord Jesus. He spoke the law of Moses through the mouth of prophets to try to get the people to stay in the word of Jehovah. But we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament time. Hebrews 1, verse 1 tells us, "God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers through the prophets by various means and various portions, has at the end of these times spoken unto us through his Son, whom he made heir of all things, through whom he created the world, who is the effulgence of his image, the very substance of his image, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much greater than the angels, he received a more excellent name than they." Jesus, our Lord, brought God's final word to mankind. He brings victory to us. We talked about all the power of the Word in the Old Testament. But the Word in the New Testament is far superior to that in Hebrews 2. He says, starting verse 1, he says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we heard. That's words. "Lest happily we drift away from them. For if the words spoken through angels stood steadfast, and ever transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was at first spoken through our Lord, confirmed to us by them that heard it?" The word that come through our Lord Jesus, who is the Word, is greater and far superior. He'll tell you in Hebrews 10, verse 28 and 29. He says, "If a man set aside the law of Moses, he's put to death without compassion by the word of two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment judge you worthy, who've trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and done despite the Spirit of grace?" He makes a comparison again in chapter 12, 25. How much superior the word that we receive in the New Testament over all the Old Testament. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything the Old Testament talked about. It's all fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. That word is absolutely trustworthy. Absolutely trustworthy. Every word is trustworthy. Every word we can depend on totally. Our Lord Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and there is nothing that was made that was not made by Him. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The word of God. He came down here, verse 14, "And the word became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth." We received the fullness of Christ from grace unto grace, verse 16. Verse 17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus. For no one has seen God at any time, but the only one of a kind God. Most of ours says the only begotten Son. But the only begotten God, who is in his bosom, declared him unto us. The Word of God, the Word. We have victory through the Word. That Word came. That Word came to show us God. He shows us everything that is God. He said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. We are one. Jesus is the Word, and that Jesus came. He is the Word of God. He triumphed over all. He triumphed over Satan. He is our victory. He met Satan in his weakest point, in his death on the cross. He enters into the house of which Satan is the strong man. And he says, no one enters in the house of a strong man and spoils his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he'll spoil his goods. Jesus entered into the house of Satan, where he has all of us sinners cooped up in there, and we can't get out, but he goes in and binds that strong man. He tears all the bars off the jail, and he leads captivity captive and gives gifts unto men. Amen. Ephesians 4:8. He is victorious over Satan, all of his wickedness. He's victorious over Satan. He's victorious over sin. He's victorious over the world, and he gives us his victory. Victory through the Word. He not only came as the Word of God, he brought the words of God and gave to us. He is the Word of God. He is a total triumphant man over everything, and he brought with him God's Word. He says in John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him, the words that I have spoken shall judge him on the last day. For, verse 49, for I spake not of myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment what I should speak and what I should say, and I know that his commandments is eternal life. Jesus not only won victory for us and gave it to us, he brought God's word down from God and gave it to us so we can know how to live according to God, so we don't have to live eternally with Satan, but we can be like God and live with God by following his words. He said in his prayer in John 17, just before he goes to the cross, in verse 4 he says, I have glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work that thou hast given me to do. Part of that work, he says, in verse 8 and verse 14, the word which I brought from you, I have given unto them, the apostles. And then he says in verse 20, not only for these only do I pray, the apostles, not only for these only do I pray, but for all them that believe on me through their words, that they might all be one. Even as the Father's in me and I in the Father, that they may be in us, that they might be all one, so that the world will know that thou hast sent me. The world is to know God sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of this world, and the way he knows that is when we're all one. Unity, we talked about unity in the leadership portion. And we cannot be one other than being one by being built up by the word that Jesus brought from God and gave to us. He gave it to the apostles. And he promised them in chapter 14 of John, verse 16. He said, I won't leave you alone, but I will ask you the Father, he will send another comforter, even the Holy Spirit. who is with you, but shall be in you. Verse 26 says, when that Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. What's outside of all things? There's nothing out there. There's nothing that's not in Jesus Christ that's worth anything. If it's not in Jesus, it's not valuable. That Holy Spirit is a promise to these men that they're going to speak Jesus' words, the words Jesus brought from God and gave to them. He's going to teach them all things. Bring to their remembrance all things that Jesus said. He says a couple chapters later, chapter 16, verse 12, I have many other things to say unto you, but you can't accept them now. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he'll not speak of his own either. The things that he has heard from God, he'll speak unto you. God sent Jesus with God's word. Jesus is the word of God, totally triumphant. And not only that, he gave Jesus the words to give to us that makes us totally triumphant in following our Lord Jesus. It's not man's thoughts. It's not man's words. It's God's words. We've mentioned 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 several times, where Peter tells us, first of all, knowing this, first of all, no prophecy is a private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man. But man spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Total inspiration. When we read in this book, we read what God said, not what man said. What man said is not the standard. Man has no business, man has no right to touch this word of God in any way other than in the truth that it says. God and man are totally different. This is God's word. It is the proficient, the profitable word. He'll tell you in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture inspired of God, breathed of God, is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. That's victory. We are totally furnished unto every good work by God's inspired word. We don't need anything else. In 2 Peter, God tells us in chapter 1, verse 2, peace to you, grace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him who called us after his own glory and virtue, whereby we have been made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. Yea, and for this cause, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control godliness, to your godliness brotherly kindness, to your brotherly kindness love. For if you do these things, you shall not be idle nor unfruitful in the word of God. For he that lacketh these is blind, seeing only the things that are near, having forgotten the cleansing of his past sins. Therefore, my beloved, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble, and you shall be richly entered into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do all those things through the Word. The Word of God is sufficient for all things. Therefore, there is a necessity to maintain the purity of that Word. That Word is not man's word. Satan's total desire, Satan's plan, his whole plan is to deceive people, and he does it by words. He comes to Eve in Genesis 3, we all know, and by words he deceives her into bringing sin into the world. And God's answer to that, God's answer to that is hold to the Word. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. God says you keep Jehovah's Word. You don't add or diminish from it. He says in chapter 5, 32, you shall follow the commandments of Jehovah, and you shall not depart from it to the right nor to the left. He emphasizes it again in chapter 12. Verse 32, in Proverbs 30, right in the middle of the Bible. In verse 6, he says, add not to the word, lest you be found a liar. Liars have no part in the kingdom of heaven. He ends the book, passage we know well, Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. You add to the words of this book, you'll get all the plagues that are written in this book. If you diminish from the words of this book, God will take your name out of the book of life. God gave us His Word. This is God's Word, not man's thinking. And it is God's Word that gives us victory. Satan's desire is to deceive us. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, the Spirit says expressly, in latter times, sons shall fall away from the faith. Doing what? Giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of demons by the hypocrisy of men speaking lies. How does Satan deceive us? By the hypocrisy of men speaking lies. They're speaking doctrines of demons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is combating a bunch of people that's not claiming to not be Christians. They're claiming to be Christians. But adding on being Christians, you have to receive circumcision, obey the law of Moses. Paul says they're false prophets, they're false apostles. Deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan fashioned himself into an angel of light. It's no wonder, therefore, if his ministers fashion themselves into ministers of righteousness. If it's not from this book, it came from Satan, people. If it's not in this book, it came from Satan, who has sent his whole time since God created this earth into deceiving people. And he does that by counterfeiting whatever God says. But it's the work of Satan. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, it said a man contends in the games, he is not crowned unless he contends lawfully. We've got to follow God's word. His words are pure words. Obedience of faith is required. Tolerance, universalism, liberalism, the gods of this world, the gods of our age, tolerance has become the god of our word. Our kids are taught from kindergarten through universities. Just accept anything. Anything's okay. Just accept it. He's just as good as you are. His mind's just as good as yours. And they're absolutely true if there's not a God. Because human thinking is human thinking, and it's equal. But if there's a God, then tolerance is not what God teaches. That comes from Satan. Universalism. Universalism states that all religions, people of all religions, can be saved. Brahmanism, Shintoism, Buddhism, Muslims, Judaism. All these people, universalism says, they can all be saved because they're believing what they believe. Came from Satan. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. Tolerance, universalism didn't come from God. Therefore, you know where it came from. Liberalism. Liberalism is the great teaching today. Whatever is true for you is true. If that makes you feel good, then it's right. Liberalism. You can't say he's wrong because he doesn't agree with what you say. He's liberated. He can believe whatever he wants to, and what he believes is truth for him. It's not what God said. It's what Satan said. And God will not tolerate that. Obedience of faith is required. We're not talking about liberalism. Oftentimes, when you talk about being obedient to God, people say you're legalist. We're not talking about legalism. Legalism is a person working to justify himself. Legalism means I can work out my own salvation, just like the Jews thought. I'll follow this law of Moses, and they know they couldn't do it. But they thought they were justified because they pick out a few laws and they did it. That's legalism, justifying yourselves by your works. Being obedient to Christ has nothing to do with legalism. We are called to obedient faith. Without obedient faith, there'll be no salvation. We do what we do out of respect. Our Lord Jesus laid aside his deity, lived on this earth and suffered everything he suffered, dies on the cross for us and gives us victory, gives us salvation. And he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he says, we're in John 14 now. That was 15. In verse 23, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my Father will love you. And we will come unto you and make our abode in you. How? If you love me and keep my commandments. He says in 1 John 3, verse 22, he says, whatsoever you ask, you'll receive. Because you keep my commandments. You ever hear people talk about praying and there was no answer to their prayer? Our God is not obligated to answer people's prayer in a positive way who's not keeping his commandments. He said, if you ask whatever you will, you'll receive it. Because you keep his commandments. The passage where we started out, 1 John 5, verse 2. Herein we know we love the children of God because we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Victory is through the word of God. by keeping those commandments, walking in Christ to the best of our ability. That's where our victory is. 2 John 6 says the same thing. And it's all because of the love of God. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, you would that men would do unto you, do you also unto them, for therein is the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and your mind, your soul, your strength. Comes out of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. This is the greatest commandment, and the second's likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For out of these two commandments, hang from the love of God. God does not command us to do anything because God is selfish. God commands every command He commanded us because He loves us. God was in existence eternally before He ever created anything. He don't need us. God is totally self-existence. He does not need us. We need Him. And all of His commandments is so that we will know God's mind, so that we can be transformed into His image, so that we can live with Him. You can't live like Satan all your life and expect to live with God eternally. No cross, no crown. You don't wear that cross, you won't get that crown. And God says everything He said because He loves us. Victory. Victory is all in God's word. Salvation came by His words in Acts 10. Peter goes to the house of Cornelius to tell him words. When he's explaining that to the Jewish people in chapter 11, he explains how that Cornelius, the angel, told Cornelius to go to Peter, who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved. God's words is what saves mankind. Those words are understandable. We have people try to excuse themselves. They say, I can't understand it. That's not true. Paul says that unto him was the revelation. He got the revelation of the mystery of God. He says, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of God. Which in other worlds was not made known unto the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit, to teach the Gentiles, their fellow members, fellow partakers of the promises of Jesus Christ through the gospel. It all comes through the Word. We are saved through the words. He says, you can perceive my understanding. Had an instructor one time says, if you don't understand it, read on. And it's amazing how when you read on, you'll find something that explained what you didn't understand back here. Get in the book and stay in the book. This is God talking to you. It is God's word, and we're victorious in God's word. Hebrews 11 speaks of victory. Victory by faith. What time did I start, Robert? I didn't even look.
Doing great. Keep going, Mark.
Victory by faith. Hebrews 11. great roll call of victorious people. They were victorious because of faith. And where does faith come from? From the Word of God. Abel, by faith, Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. He didn't even die, he goes to heaven. By faith, Noah built an ark, whereby his righteousness condemned the world. God says in verse 6, without faith, you can't be pleasing to God, for they that come to God must believe he is, and the rewarder of them that have faith in him. Abraham, by faith, Abraham left his country. By faith, Sarah conceived and bore a son. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather the ill treatment with the people of God rather than the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, because he looked to the recompense of the reward. He says further over there, verse 32, 34, what shall we say? The time would fail us if we speak of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and the prophets. And what did they do? Let me read you what they did. Who through faith, where's faith come from? The Word of God. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned the fight of armies of the aliens, turned them to flight, all by faith, which they received through the Word. The Word is our victory. Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation shows us that Satan is a four-time loser. If you want to stand with Satan, God gives you that privilege, but let me tell you, you're a loser. Because victory is in Christ. Amen. Satan failed. Jesus failed to destroy Jesus when he's born on the earth. 12, verse 4 and 5 of Revelation. He follows Jesus into heaven. He's cast out of heaven. He's a loser. Comes to the earth. He goes after the woman who is the people of God. He fails. Then he goes after her seed. That's we individual Christians. And if we hold to the faith, he fails again. He's a four-time loser. Satan's a loser. Don't get on his side. And all the time that it looked like Rome was winning, God says, don't even worry about it. You win. If you're in Christ, you win. He says in that chapter in verse 11, they overcome him. They's the saints overcome him, Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Victory, people. Victory in Christ. Jesus says, you be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of righteousness. That's victory. And it's all through Jesus, who is the Word, and the Word that he brought. Salvation is assured to those who walk after the Lord, who walk after and in the Word that he brought. Victory is sure. I'll see you in heaven.